Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Belanti, and the head of HVU Insider is with me. That's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Man, we're doing great, Jim. Great to be here. Another big weekend following up the recruiting visit, 20-plus visitors last weekend. And so now this is a smaller weekend that we had, and I think we're going to get some good news. Hopefully by the time the listeners hear this on Monday, we'll hear some good momentum coming out of the 4 to 5 visitors that we had on campus this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully so. And we're going to talk about some of those names. I also, at some point, want to hit you up on some of the names from last week. We were hoping to hear some commits, some news during the week. You know, we didn't quite hear that. We did get a couple decommits, though. A couple of cornerbacks, Samaje Robinson, who was the first commit. Well, he was also the first decommit. He committed then since to Virginia. And Zachary Gleason, another cornerback, has since decommitted and committed to West Virginia. First of all, just in the grand scheme of things, Mike, we got to get used to the fact that decommits are going to be part of every class.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, that's before pre-NIL, that was always a thing. You can have a really strong class, build up a ton of momentum, and out of 20, 25 guys that you bring in each class, you're always going to have – you know, one or two guys that the fit, you know, they feel that they have a better fit somewhere else. It's always been that way, always before the money and the NIL. But now what I like about it now is that a lot of these decisions are actually business decisions. Like, it's not about, oh, they didn't have the major, unfortunately, like that. Like, you know, it wasn't about, oh, I had such a better relationship with this coach versus that coach. It's really some, you know, we talked off air about it. It's some real general manager stuff going on now that you have to make business decisions. And I say that, like, in the case that, you know, we experienced two decommitments, but a lot of those were business decisions. And I think, you know, out there, it's in the public, you know, about how they were offered you know, a lot more than what Penn State was allegedly offering them. And that's going to happen. It's like a free agent in football, in NFL, right? And he's a hot free agent. So he goes and visits a couple teams. More than likely, he's going to end up choosing the team that brings the most money, right? And he can protect his family and all of that. So that's what these decisions are made out of. And I think in the case with Samaje and Gleason, you know, they were offered just more money than what Penn State was willing to offer because, again, back to this is real GM stuff. You can't blow the bank on a player that you don't value as much as maybe another school that's willing to pay six figures in the difference, right? Like, that's just common sense, right? So if I'm Gleason and I'm that parent, man, West Virginia offered $100,000 more a year or something like that. That's going to change your mindset and your thinking when you're talking about a decision. So I think it's hard to take the emotion out of it. Right. That's what I've always tried to do. But you know, that's what makes college football so great. Everybody's so emotionally attached to it that when something happens like this, it's like, oh man, what's wrong? You know, the sky is falling. No, it's just this isn't an outlier. This is going to happen over and over again in cycles. And it's just not us. You're going to see other kids in the class that are going to jump ship because other teams are going to value them more than that team that they're currently committed to. And it's no knock to those kids and decommitting. It's just a business decision for them. And if there's another team that values them more and they can, you know, make more money there, then that's okay, right? And so then what do we do? You know, Derek Hoosier and the staff does a great job in creating real depth on the boards. So this week, we had Dylan McGee from Texas, who Terry Spence has done a really good job establishing a relationship with a high-end player from Texas to come in. So I feel really good about that. But I wouldn't say I feel 100% confident just because he's from Texas, and Texas kids, like, there's no sleepers on that kid. And he's got a couple decisions he's going to have to make. But I think if we would end up landing Dylan, I think that would be a really good follow-up on a week that was perceived bad, but really wasn't. It's just part of the game now. And I think some people understand that out there, but so there's just some people that won't ever understand just because they're so emotionally attached. And I get that.
Well, anytime there's a commit, it's considered a win. And when you lose them, that's considered a loss. And it was interesting to me, Mike, you compared this to NFL free agency. I try often with our listeners not to compare it to, you know, professional football, which, you know, it's hard for us to relate to it, but to real life out there for non-football players. Hey, if somebody were to offer you a huge amount of money to leave your job and start to work across the street at the competitor, you would probably go do it. And I know, you know, in my history, I've been offered job. Hey, I almost took a job in California, Mike, if they had offered enough money to make, you know, make it worthwhile. They didn't. The job was attractive, but wow, you know, for the what there was anyway. I think most of our listeners have probably been in that situation where they change jobs and the amount of money you're being offered was a big factor in it. So I think that's what you have going on here. The other part to this, and we were talking about this a little bit, is when you lose these guys to a Virginia or a West Virginia, not to degrade those programs, but these players rank higher amongst their class than they do in Penn State's class. So you mentioned, you know, Samaje, if Virginia is offering him that much more money, it's because, hey, he's more valuable to them than he would be to, say, Penn State.
Yeah, 100%. And to me, that's just like part of the business now. Again, like, I'm going to keep saying, like, this is just real general manager stuff that's happening at the collegiate level. And because, I mean, I think it's hard to adjust to the public. You know, not all of them. I think a lot of people are starting to realize that, but you know, it's they just have to make these decisions based off of the business side of it, and I take that back. They don't have to, because there's still all of the other things that come along with it, but that's a big reason why they're making these decisions. And I think it's funny because you know, the sky's falling when these two players decommitted, which I did like both of them, but they weren't like my favorite probably out of the entire class. That's no shade to them. I'm just out of the class, they're probably on the lower tier of that class if I had to rank them all, right? And I think that's what the staff is looking at. Like, okay, if they're on the bottom of our board, say out of 20 guys, if we're ranking 1 to 20 of our current commits, but that 20th commit, right, wants number one status money, then that's just not going to fly. So that's just another perspective that just basically coincides with what you're saying, right? And look, we lost those two guys, but in December, would fans think that we would have a top 10 class right now without playing a game under the Coach Campbell era? Like, I think no. Like about that. And so we still have a top 10 class, I think, with, you know, the recruiting services. So, like, it's just part of it. It's, I look at it as, like, I really do look at it. I've always have looked at it as business in a sense, but I really look at it from a business standpoint now. And it makes sense for these things to happen. But I get it, like, with the emotion and stuff with it. But yeah, it's really cool seeing how NIL is evolving and changing the recruiting game. And this is just another little bullet point on the timeline of the evolution of it. And it's not done. And we're going to continue to see this.
Well, also, if you got to look at it differently than we did a few years ago. A few years ago, you could bring in as many good players as you possibly could because, hey, you know, we just want to stock the shelves with as many good players as possible. Now, if you, for example, these two cornerbacks, Penn State could have chosen to match the offers from those other schools and spent more money on them to keep them. But what would the price have been that they'd have to pay elsewhere? So does it mean that if you have, you know, giving more money to this cornerback, does that mean you have less money to spend on linebackers? You weaken yourself somewhere else now.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to the point. This is like real general manager things. They have to look at the roster. They have to look at, you know, how they're allocating their money. They got to look at the people that are still out there. And you still have to save money for the portal, depending on what you project to see maybe some holes in the roster. So, and depending on that player, that position, that could fluctuate what you're going to need to save for the portal. But, you know, Penn State's in a good place because we're in that alleged, you know, top tier of people with resources and stuff like that. So kudos to like the other teams to find these players. It's like if I was a GM at a West Virginia or some of these, like, it's no shade, but like middle tier type of P4 teams, I would have my staff looking at every blue chip program like Penn State, Ohio State, and USC, all of them, and I would be looking at their middle to lower recruits so I could poach them. Like, that is happening. And it's so easy to get that parent and that kid to listen if you say, well, what are they paying you? Right. Or right. Like most cases now, just like the NFL, you have an agent and the agent can kind of work this thing out for you. But they're going to listen. Right. Like if you got a call, like you said, from some other radio station in Cali or something, and they said, hey, Jim, I know it's in Cali, it's West Coast, and you know, you're a Pennsylvania guy, all that. But hey, look, bro, we'll pay you $500,000 more. And I don't think you say no, thanks. You're gonna say, okay, why don't we just jump on call? Let me get, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna listen.
Yeah. And you know, it's the same kind of thing. And people, I really, someone in my family went through a situation. He'd worked at a place for years. Someone offered him a better salary. You know, he was ready to make the jump. Till his current company said, oh, you're ready to jump. All of a sudden, you're more valuable to us. He allowed his current company to counter, which they did. So that kind of thing happens. We'll talk more about this, Mike, right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. Executive Director of HVU and HVU Insider, Mike Villagrana, is with us. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two of our show. And Mike, we were talking about, you know, the cornerbacks, Samaje Robinson and Zachary Gleason, who decommitted from Penn State this past week. And I think you hit it earlier. There's an emotion that comes with this. And we're Penn Staters. Our listeners are Penn Staters. And for some folks, it's an emotional response. Hey, how could you choose to go elsewhere? This is Penn State, you know, who we've been loyal to. Maybe we attended Penn State, work at Penn State, however it is. But it's still a business process. You've changed jobs in your career in college football, and some of it is about, hey, getting paid more, a better opportunity. And that's really what these young folks are. I'm very careful never to get upset with the players for going to a better opportunity for them.
Yeah, neither have I. I think pre-NIL, when they did, there was more emotion attached to it, I think, because money wasn't, you know, the factor. Now, I think how kids still to this day, how they make that decommitment and how they make that decision says a lot about them, right? Even when, like, you get kids, like, now I'm old man, right? Get out my lawn, Lil. Like, the kid that committed to Texas A&M and just acted, like, obnoxiously, and, like, I'll get hate because, oh, that's a big decision. Let him have. No, be mature about it because you're about to go into a really mature or, like, a really you're going in a professional setting. Now when you go into this, so like, don't act a fool. And then when you do a decommitment, you make a decision, don't try to win the internet, you know, like, don't do that. And I think that's kind of going away. So then when people do that and like they do the hat flips and all that good stuff, it's like it kind of magnifies it because you don't really see that much more because it's just it's more professional, right? The ongoing theme that we keep talking about. But like we talked during the break, it's like, man, I was the general manager. This is pre-NIL. So like when I say general manager, I was a general manager. It was nothing like a general manager today. But I was a general manager at Marshall with one of my best friends, Charles Huff. And we were grinding. And it was really just me and like two people in my department, but it was fun. And, you know, I thought I was just going to be with Huff like the rest of my life. But then I get a call from Coach Pry and, you know, about Virginia Tech. And I'm like, well, I'm going to listen. I worked in Virginia for 5 years. I know everything about Virginia. I love Virginia Tech growing up. I was a huge Michael Vick guy growing up, lunch pail type of guy. So it was more money. Like everything made sense. And it was a business decision to make that jump. And that's what I did. And that's what these kids are going through right now when it comes to, you know, some of these decisions that they got to make.
And that, I think, is the part that we as fans have to realize, that they're making business decisions that are best for them, best for their family. But what I wish they would learn more of, like you said about, you know, the winning the internet, and even prior to NIL, what I didn't like is the same kids who would have, you know, three schools that they were looking at, school A, school B, school C. He chooses school A, just basks in the accolades from school A until he decommits to go somewhere else and then says, respect my privacy. Well, dude, you gave up your privacy, you know, when you were giving school A the good news that you were coming there and you were all over the internet. Well, you're now a big boy. This is now not just fun and games. Because you are being compensated a lot of money, you are, and I mean by the word professional, I don't mean, no, you're not an NFL player, you're still college age, but college football is big business now. There's literally billions of dollars going on out there, and you're being compensated, you know, multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we saw, and again, I don't mean to beat up on the kid, but Chaz Coleman, with his experience at Tennessee, hey, Tennessee's compensating you a large amount of money. That's why you chose to be there. It's time for you to, you know, put on the big boy pants and show up for practice, number one. You know, that's part of being paid like a professional.
Yeah, and think about the pressure that this puts on GMs around college, right?
Yes.
I think, like, as I was kind of going through the profession, you know, since I got into it in 2015, you know, that general manager or director of player personnel or whatever that lead title is for that guy, it's changed so much, right? And I think they've always wanted, like, just GMs or director DPPs around the country, they want, you know, they want respect, they want some notoriety with what they're doing, because they put in so much hard work in it, and deservingly so. But now it's like, all right, now they're actually making these general manager decisions like an NFL GM that now comes even more scrutiny on them. So if we're making bad decisions at Penn State, like that's going to come down on Hoosier now, not the head coach, which I always kind of like because I've always liked the NFL model. So like Hoosier is going to make, he's going to put emotion out of it when he has to, right? Because, you know, I think even with the past regime, there was a lot of rumblings in the off season. Of course, when a coaching change, you know, it's like everything that the past staff did wrong. But a big thing that kept occurring that I kept hearing was that you know, we didn't do as Penn State a great job allocating the money throughout the roster, right? And that was kind of a reason that ended the way it did. Now I don't know how true that is, but my point is that was something, and usually when there's smoke there's something real about it, right? So that's a lot ton of pressure. When I got to meet Hooge, he's a great dude, like a normal dude, because a lot of these guys you meet, they're kind of pompous and like very into themselves, and you know, they created, you know, college football and recruiting and evaluations. Hooge was the opposite. But I'm like just trying to get to know him and feel him out. And, a lot of the people from Iowa State were like, man, you'll never see Hoosier like this. Like, and I'm like what? And I'm like, he seems pretty cool, calm and collected. And he's like, no. And then, so it's a couple of meetings that I've had the opportunity to have with him. He's just like, you know, he goes to sleep thinking about the roster and money. He wakes up thinking about the roster and money, and he probably has nightmares or dreams and whatever while he's sleeping about about money. So like there's a ton of pressure that comes along with these GMs now. So like the kids are going to make the decisions, but a lot of the times they're making the decisions based off of what the GM and the head coach are willing to do, depending on the type of negotiation. Each one is special, right, in its own right. Like there's, every kid has different priorities, different check boxes, different agents, and different expectations when it comes to money. So it's a tough job. There's no blueprint to it, right? Every school's different. How much money do we have allocated, and how does Hoosier allocate that money per position? And it's really cool. It's really cool. I think hopefully my dream for college football is, after all this legislation and transfer portal and conferences and all the bickering is settled, and who knows when that is, but to have full transparency, just like the NFL cap, like a true cap, so you can see that number. So you can see how we're allocating money and how other GMs are allocating money. That's how I would see, because that will give fans a better idea of why these decisions are happening, right? Why you're seeing a decommitment, one or two of them in each cycle. Like you'll understand that. And I've seen some cool things out there. Like some of the guys that, you know, we're close to, some of the donors and whatnot here at Penn State, like they're all into it. Some of them are really into it, and they find some really cool things. Somebody sent something to me the other day, and it had like what each player is making. And like anytime, yeah, I see that, or like some of the recruiting services like give like an evaluation of like a kid's NIL,
yeah, their value, yeah,
like all that stuff to me is just like, it's cute, right? It's like that's fun, but there's absolutely no substance into that, right? And like that, the one site that I saw, it was sweet. It was a clean looking like roster. I just wish it was like 100%
real.
Yeah, real. So that, like, that's my dream for college football, and that's what I hope for GMs and head coaches in college football, because that would really help. But I think we're far away from that. But that, I think that's something that'd be really cool if we got there, because then, like I said, these decisions are business. So like fans out there, they can go to the website, type it up, and look at the cap that Penn State's working on, and then look at who they're paying and all that. And that will make sense. Right. So yeah, we could talk days for this, but it's always evolving too. So based on like what happens and comes out of Congress and all this politics now in the mix. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes, but I think we're a far away from anything like that.
I do think we're far away because there's the House settlement, which said, okay, you could directly compensate your student athletes the $21 million. I think schools thought, hey, that will kind of work as our cap, you know, because we'll know people have to stop. But as you know better than pretty much anybody, is monies are coming in outside of that $21 million in NIL. And, you know, how legitimate or illegitimate that money is, it's hard to police it. And I don't think the court system will come in and say, hey, you can't, you know, Nissan is willing to pay Arch Manning because he's so high profile. He'll do ads with the Heisman House. And I hope I'm not mixing up the cars. I think it's Nissan, right? But that's, you can't restrict how much money a person could make artificially. And that's what that would be. You could police how much the schools compensate, but you can't police, or it's very tough to police with the outside money. Or what they're going to try to do, I think, is say it needs to be legitimate. I know you want to respond to that, Mike. I'm going to let you do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim. He's Mike. We're talking about the state of college football and how this works in putting together a team and the job the GM has to do with it, and that the money is part of that. And I know I was making comments prior to the break, and you look like you were ready to respond, Mike.
Yeah, in regards to which part, Jim?
I knew you were going to ask me that because I already forgot, but I just I threw it back to you thinking, hey, Mike will remember what I was talking about.
Dude, I forget where I was 10 minutes ago.
Well, I'll tell you where I was headed, though, is, again, we were talking about the GMs and what money they spend and how they allocate it. But I want to say that what Matt Campbell and Derek Hoosier went through in changing jobs and moving from Iowa State to Penn State, all the players leaving, what players stay, what players do they bring back from Iowa State, and that allocation of money became even more important because you were losing so many players and needed someone for the portal. But I wanted to give, you know, our listeners a little bit of how to translate things that are said. For example, when a player say, gee, I'm leaving because Penn State didn't appreciate me. You know what that translates to? They're not paying me enough money, Mike, and somebody else is willing to pay me more, right?
Yeah, 100%. I got it. You know, it's funny. I got a couple texts over the weekend about this coming official visit weekend. Now the listeners listening, this past weekend about, hey, how hard are we on, you know, X player, or do we think we have a good chance with this or that player? Look, right now, again, like going back to the business out of it, like these guys are not coming on campus if there already aren't some talks and negotiations about where that money is, because if they're too far from each other, from any kind of resemblance of something that he could get a deal done, then they're not coming on a visit, right? And yeah, that's kind of, that goes back to not, it's really true with the official visits, but it's really kind of gets vetted earlier in the cycle when these guys are starting to come on campus, right? Unofficially, they're going to have these conversations with them, right? And then it becomes real. And so all these guys, the five guys that we have here on campus, like, they're all real, right? And now the problem that we'll have is somebody that comes in and offers more money, right? And then yeah, they go back to the decision making based on the value, market value, roster allocation discipline, and with the money and all that. So it's a business process type of like factory line to me.
It is. And the money says, we were talking a bit about, is it the reality, what you're starting to see, you know, that information out there, this player makes this much. Oh, I remember what we were talking about, the NIL, like I brought up Arch Manning and the outside money is, can you police that? And you can police what the schools compensate the players, but I don't think that they'll be able to police how much, like an Arch Manning, who's a national figure, he could make a national ad with a big car company or something like that, as opposed to the NIL ones where, gee, you go to a car dealership and sign autographs for a half hour and you get paid $1 million to do that, or a couple. It's obviously not worth that much money. And that's what some of these rules, what the bills that are going through Congress are. Can you legitimately police that kind of thing going on, Mike? And I'm not sure that you can.
Yeah, but I guess there's two things, but I'll start with the first one is, like, if you're doing it right, and I think everybody wants to, like, be a even fair game, you know what I mean? And the problem is, so this kind of hit me the other day when during the congressional hearing, Saban talks about how, like, his first year before he retired, he, you know, it was like $2 million or something like that in NIL that was needed, that they needed to fundraise or have to have a competitive roster at Alabama. And then he just saw over the years to now it's $40 million, right? What's it going to be in 2, 3, 4 years? 60, 80 million? Like, that's where we're headed because there are no guardrails, right? And so, and I bring that up because you do have the third party CSC NIL Go, which all those contracts on top of the cap has to go through them, right? And I deal with that stuff, right? So, I have to have it approved by the CSC and NIL Go. It has to clearly state exactly what they're doing in order to get this contract and justify it. And that's why we're able to have some of the football players on the HVU Insider Show, right? Because they are obligated by their contract, third party contract, to be on that, right? But here's the problem. Here's why I bring that up. Okay, so if we pay X amount of money for Johnny to go to the HVU Insider Show, all right, that's going to go through NIL Go, and they're going to justify and say, okay, that makes sense. He's going there, he's making an appearance, name, image, likeness, right? Signing autographs, all that stuff. It's outlined. It is a legit contract that we are dealing with here, right? But as the money gets higher and higher that we need to spend, so if we're trying to spend $40 million, right, that contract for that is just peanuts, right? Basically, to get to that total number that's being allocated, say $40 million. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a problem. As the money gets higher and higher, well, the more money needs to be the CSC and NIL Go need to match that basically on where it is. So, like, if he gets $10 to do a HVU Insider Show, right? But he needs to get paid, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars, right? That show, that contract is not going to help. And now, okay, you say, okay, all right, just have him do 1 million shows. That's
also not realistic.
That's also not realistic because What they had, I remember Coach Franklin had like a pitch count on guys, and I thought that was kind of neat way to like listen to it. And now this staff is doing a really good job of actually planning it out months out, mm-hmm. Which is really smart. Because you can't have Rocco going to Champs every single night, doing a radio show every single night, going on Sports Center every single day. Like, you can't do that. They're students, remember, right? And it's a full-time job being a student athlete, especially in football, right? Yeah. So that's just another wrinkle in this mess that that I think is interesting. But I think we're in a good place right now with where we're at and our system to pay these guys third party money.
Well, you know, the couple things that I'll throw at you for this as we're going down this rabbit hole is it's a little backwards in that typically it's like, okay,
it's backwards. Yes.
Yeah. You define the work and say, okay, we'll pay you this for that work, as opposed to, okay, we need to pay you that much. Now we got to create work to match the amount of money. And what you point out is, you know, very important, Mike. If as that money goes up, it's like, hey, it's going to take a $40 or $50 million roster. Well, you got to find $40 or $50 million of work to compensate the players. But I think what has to happen, you mentioned these groups that are policing these things. How many have they punished any schools yet? I know that they've rejected some of these things, like the Nebraska deal. You know, there was an issue there. But, you know, until we start to see someplace, something in authority that could police these things, it's just going to keep going on. You know, those budgets are going to rise. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got the break.
No, we're good. We got a couple minutes.
Yeah. So like you saw with NIL Go, and CSE, like anything over $600, you had to submit, right?
Yes.
You had to submit it, and it had to be, legit and approved. Right. So they trying to adjust, because now I think it's like 3,000, anything over 3,000 has to be reported or something like that. And that's been really helpful, but as the money for these rosters continue to grow, that's going to have to continue to be more flexible as well. The second part that you brought up about, you know, any of these schools getting in trouble. Did you see the one, I forget, I'm trying to pull it up now, but they did hammer a smaller school lately. And I want to say it was an FCS school that they hammered, where when you have people talking day in and day out about Mensa and the Duke and Miami tampering, every single day you're hearing about the Clemson and Ole Miss and the receipts and the coach texting him and saying, what is your buyout? And those guys haven't gotten hammered at all. To me, this stuff frustrates me too. And I'll go back to the Chris Childers, because he's like really emotional on XM radio. But this type of stuff pisses me off, right? Like that's BS. Like that's why we need, because and I say that it's BS because it's all agenda and politically driven for every conference, every school. Nobody cares. It's Game of Thrones, man. Everybody's out for themselves. Everybody's trying to get their own dragons to burn down everybody else, and everybody wants to be the top dog. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this goes. But that stuff that does piss me off, because how are you gonna hammer? Why are you putting your resources in a school? And I say that I know why, because they want to make it seem like they're doing their job. Well, do the job where it's going to hurt and it's going to actually have some ramifications and get this thing sorted out. And so people can say, oh man, did you see what they did to Ole Miss? Okay. I ain't messing with that. That's the stuff that pisses me off. And Dabo Swinney went on television and a press conference, and I thought it was really good. It was like a
he laid it all out.
laid it all out, and we're still sitting here with nothing done because they can't do anything. But they're going to pick on a little. To me, it's like bullying. Right?
It is. Well, we got a break. We're not done with this topic, Mike, but we got to do a hard break. We'll pick it up when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number four of our show. And Mike, we were talking about, I had asked you the question about who's, someone has to be made an example of when we're talking about putting restrictions on. And you mentioned how it looks like they're going after a smaller school, but the big schools, like, you know, the big Clemson, Ole Miss tampering thing, Dabo went out, laid it all out. We haven't heard anything. Now, I know this is a little bit different, but the same idea. Brendan Sorsby, I mean, dead to rights, it's like, it's not a question. He gambled. He gambled on the sport. He gambled on his home team, his own team. And guess what? Nothing, because they were able to take it to a local court in Texas that ruled in their favor. And it really kind of bothers me, Mike. I'm reading articles. They're blaming the NCAA for that. No, the NCAA, they're ready to put the hammer down. And you go to a local court system and nothing happens. That's why there has to be some actual power put into this system where you can punish the big guy and not just pick on the little guys who can't defend themselves.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's optically driven, too, because they know all of the negative pub that's coming over the NCAA and that organization as a whole. So they're trying to be relevant. But it's so telling when you have the president of the NCAA, you know, basically begging Congress to help. All right, literally begging, because it's at a point now that they have no leverage. They have zero leverage, and it sucks, right? Because, like, we always wanted, I always felt like the players should get paid. They no doubt about it, but there just really was no system in place to transition to that new phase in college football that it now is turned into a complete mess, and now we have to basically put the toothpaste back in, which is incredibly hard. And now you have politics and courts, local judges in the mix of things. And I hate it. I really do. And I think, again, that it's so pathetic. Like the Sorsby thing, like I'm not a hater. Like everybody makes mistakes, right? Like everybody does, especially when you go to college. Trust me, I've made 1 billion mistakes. And they should have a chance to redeem themselves. But if you do wrong, there has to be some kind of ramifications, and you learn from that, right? And so you won't do it again. That's not the message that we're being told here, right? We're being told, no, just go get a local judge. We'll frame it and spin it in legal terms and legal language that makes sense for us to get whatever we want, basically, right? Like that, to me, sends into our culture. I have an 11 and 7-year-old. What does that say to my 11-year-old? Joe Moore, hey, point the thumb, not the finger. Like, the dude has, there's receipts about $90,000 worth of bets being made from him, or he was calling his boys to put in bets for him, or he was sending money to, he was all in it, and that, it happens, right? That happens to everybody. Gambling's been around forever, right? But then to spin it that he plays, that he's the victim, oh, that really pisses me off. He is not the victim. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, here's the thing, though, and maybe this is me trying to put a positive spin on things. This is one of the things, few times, I think everybody outside of the Texas Tech world is on the same side of this, that it's wrong, he should be suspended. There's like zero doubt in everybody's mind. And what I wonder is this the tipping point? Is this the point where public opinion has finally reached the point where this is such a complete mess that the only way to clean it up is for Congress to step in and do things that will help enforce some kind of structure, some kind of rules? And have you ever seen an issue with college football where you have this big a majority or this much of a consensus feeling the same way about it? Name me somebody outside of Texas Tech who's supportive of this.
That's the thing. Like you're not going to hear anybody else. Like, and if you do hear them, it's a very small percentage of the whole, right? Like anybody you talk to, you're like, man, it goes back to, I tell my kid, like, Dom, is that common sense, bro? Like, come on, man. Right. And like, that's like everybody, if you don't follow college football, it's just like, what are we doing? Like, that's not common sense. He gambled. That's a big no-no. And he should get penalized for that some way, somehow. And then he'll have a chance to redeem himself or whatever after that punishment. No. Let me go get Johnny Doner, who's a retired judge or whatever, to say, nah, you're good. You know, but I don't know, guns up or whatever the hell the Red Raiders say. And like, like to me, like it makes me like really not like Texas Tech and that whole circle, because to me, that's a whole cult like deal that they're doing right now. They got all those guys around the room talking about, you know, basically word salad type of deal, not really saying anything because they're politicians essentially. And they have to protect Texas Tech. But man, I can't. I'm gonna have fun following. Like, I want to go to a game actually, Texas Tech plays, and just see pregame and just how, in a way, a game, just how much crap they are going to receive. And I think it's only going to get worse with this deal. I think there's still some stuff that's going to come out from Ohio and Cincinnati that there's some things that maybe they knew what was going on. Were they the one that blew the whistle on this thing? And are they just, it's just like, it's like the draft, right? It's always that top 10 pick that something comes out like right before he's about to get drafted, or the day of or the week of the draft, something comes out. I think there's still going to be some, I think they're holding some bullets in their chamber, and they're about to keep continuing to throw things on this. Because if you have, imagine the stuff that we don't know. Like, we know he paid over $90,000 in bets, plus, you know, the way that he did it. There's going to be some other stories. Maybe his boy back at Cincy that he, you know, when he transferred, he quit talking to him. So that boy feels pissed. All right. Well, he's probably got some receipts and text messages and stuff like that. All right. Or that position coach that feels a certain way because he left. Right, on bad terms or whatever. If he has any bridges burned, those people, believe me, are going to try to pull those receipts. So I think there's still a lot to come to this. I think it's a crap show. And like, it does, like, not a lot of things fire me up, but that part just fires me up. It just pisses me off for college football, and it's really telling where we're at. And anybody, it doesn't matter what people try to say and what kind of rules they try to enforce on you. There are no rules, man. There are no rules right now.
Well, I'd like to see, you know, Texas Tech, like, there should still be people at that institution, the president of the university, the board, to say, hey, wait a minute, we're about more than football, you know, and our entire reputation is taking such a hit here. And the other part to this is, when you have a PR nightmare like that, you know, when you've dug yourself a hole, stop digging. They don't. I don't know if you've seen some of the things that's come out. They did a podcast type thing, almost like a round table of people from the athletic department.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, and it was so fake and over.
It was awful.
Awful. And like, there is no PR to this. Like, for them, if I'm the AD, don't talk. Just don't talk to anybody. Cody Campbell, quit talking to people.
Right. You can't win this PR battle.
You're not going to win. You're not going to win.
And I've had someone tell me that, hey, you know, it's in the news cycle. It will go away. And if you're quiet, which is what they should do, it'll go away. But the problem is it will keep coming back up. The first game Texas Tech plays, every network will be there. ESPN will be there. It'll be a big deal. You know, yeah, that they're playing, you know, the two-game suspension against Podunk, they'll be there. Then the first game that he actually plays.
How convenient. We'll give you a little suspension.
Suspension
against the layups on their roster. Right. They might as well just say, I bet you it wouldn't be that way if, like, Houston was their first game. I bet you they've been like, because I've seen this from the NCAA. They say, all right, you're suspended for four games, but you get to pick which four. Like, I was actually part of that with a linebacker that got in academic trouble when I was at Mississippi State. Hell of a player, played in the league, still is in the league, and got in some trouble. But NCAA came back and said, all right, you can't play four games, but you get to pick them.
Yeah.
I bet you that's what would happen if there was, like, a marquee game at the beginning. Hey, Jim, all right, so I found it. And talking about picking on the little guys. All right, North Dakota self-reported a kid who called him asking to transfer and got a show cause, visit cuts, and a suspension, right? They self-reported, right? And then they got hammered. But then you have Ole Miss allegedly ran a full operation on a player who was already signed, enrolled, moved in at Clemson, and then they dangled $1 million in front of them, have receipts, text messages from their DPP, from their agents, from their head coach, and that thing has been done. What are we doing?
Well, hey, North Dakota, man. You got to make sure that
way to really do your job and get on North Dakota, who self-reported. So what does that tell other schools now?
Don't self-report.
Don't self-report, right? This thing's so toxic. But all right, so I like to be optimistic, and I'll go on to the I'll get out of my soapbox, and because when that first week zero or whatever, week -3 they call it now, the numbers are going to be insane because the product is the product, and it has the most eyeballs. And I think other than the NFL, I think it's right behind it when it goes to eyeballs. Like, people are still going to watch, and we're going to still love it. But this stuff is going on. Right, like it's going to be going on for years, but we're still going to love it because the product is the product.
We still want it fixed, but in my mind, college football is the best sport there is. I can sit and watch college football all the time. It's a great thing. They can't destroy it, and it feels like they're trying to, and they just can't because the product is too good. It goes on despite themselves. So anyway, that's going to have to be the last word. Mike, thank you so much. Thank all of you for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.